alright, gangsters. Oh, we had some fun in the Premier League, didn't we? Leicester are getting very good at telling hoof to power. Liverpool fans and their team's abilities walk out of the stadium on 77 minutes. Lennon makes us all imagine, and even after Arsenal beat Bournemouth, their route to the title looks trickier after Trippier taps Spurs into second. Elsewhere, we've got La Liga, where Atleti complete the Eibar challenge, Barca make comparatively hard work of Levante after dismantling Gary Neville's life in midweek, and Moom of the Week produces some moments of real magic. There's nothing you can't do. These beats will make you feel brand new. Welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex, with me, Mohanid.
Hey man.
How you doing?
Great, fantastic.
Excellent. You've got your sleeves rolled up. I mentioned gangsters in the intro. You look a bit gangster.
Well, the reason is we turn off the AC for the buzz, yeah. And it gets really hot in here.
Not as if it gives us a buzz, but...
No.
Because yeah. Fair enough. Bernie, you're looking smarter.
Am I?
Yeah.
And that's hard to do because it's
quite smart. Oh, thank you. I'm very smart, aren't I?
And Roche, you notice I didn't answer that. Roche, decked out in Manchester United gear, are you a full kit?
I am a half kit banker. Okay. I'm not going to finish the rest of that word, I think you know what I'm saying.
Only half kit.
Half kit banker, that's it, indeed, yeah.
Excellent. Well, you have your kit on because you were at the pub watching Manchester United, weren't you?
I certainly was. It was a great atmosphere.
Great advert for the pub.
It was, indeed. I think it was a great game to watch. At the end, the pub was a bit silent.
I'm sure it was.
A few profanities were exchanged.
Right, at the screen.
Yeah. I was going to say, in a particular player's direction, or Van Gaal.
Yeah, like, who was it?
No.
Or just general anger.
I think the fans were extremely supportive of the team in general, regardless of who it was. But there was one Chelsea fan at the United pub, who was screaming his head off when Costa equalised.
See, in Canada, you can do that without getting beaten up.
Yeah.
I did fear for his life for a few seconds, though.
Yeah, right. Until someone offered him a beer and said, you know, well done, mate.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
Sorry. Thank you.
You're right when you say that the fans were supportive, because the beginning of the game for United started fantastic. United played much better. They held the ball. They looked quite good, which was a continuation of their previous performance at Stoke, because that was fantastic. I mean, relatively speaking, seeing how the season's going. And it looked quite good. Rooney was playing well. Martial, Fellaini, Carrick wasn't bad.
Yeah, no, not at all. The game started really well. The first 30 minutes was all one-way traffic. And then I'd have to say, you know, the momentum switched a little bit. And then it was a bit of a stalemate towards halftime.
I think it was like a Fellaini-Matic thing that happened there for a while. It really looked like whoever would win that one.
Two big lumps who pretty much can't play football anymore. But I thought, like you said, they started off very well. Towards the end of the second half, United tailed off. And for me personally, there should have been a penalty for Chelsea. You know, it's tough for me to admit, but I thought Daley Blind's hands were raised. And it's a goal-stopping shot from Terry. So he stops the goal with his hands. Hmm. I know it's not, you know, intentional as the rules say, but those are given all the time.
Do you think that was just, you know, karma, John Terry?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, anything that goes against John Terry works for me.
Exactly. So, and the universe.
Yeah.
I think he's had enough going against him this week. I mean, Chelsea's saying they will not renew his contract.
I think they probably will.
Right. Yeah. Unless China comes.
He played them beautifully. By coming out in the media and doing that and all the fans uproar, he did that very well.
And he played very well. I mean, that penalty shout you're talking about is because John Terry kept going from center back all the way up, and he kind of joined the attack for a good couple of minutes. Like, I remember the commentator clearly saying, why is John Terry still here? And the ball did end up at his feet. And you know what? I think it would have been a bit harsh to give it, because Blind was genuinely trying to just block the shot, and it so happened to hit his elbow. It's a bit...
The thing with John Terry, when he goes all that way, it's like when you fly, if you fly, you know, a 15-hour flight or something, you're going to stay there for a few weeks because you've gone a long way. So Terry, if he goes all the way up the pitch, he needs to be there for a while to make it work.
Getting back is going to take a long time.
It's a lot of mileage there.
Second half, again, United started off the second half on the front foot again. They had all the chances. Courtois with two or three very good saves early on. And for me, it was different from, obviously the last three games have been great, but different from what we've become used to this season of, you know, just this slow pedestrian pace. They were moving the ball forward. Martial, Rooney, Lingard and Mata in the middle dictating it. I thought this was
brilliant. Martial was destroying Ivanovic.
I fully agree. I think this was a much improved performance. There was a lot more flexibility in the attack. A lot of chances were created. I think there were 16 or 17 chances for both teams in this game.
And then Lingard finally opening the scoring in this game with a really good finish.
Yeah.
Another Borthwick-Jackson cross, which, you know what, he has a good cross in him. Against Stoke, we saw it again for Lingard, I think.
Yeah.
And I was quite impressed with his cross. They're flat, they're sharp. He doesn't just kind of like...
When he hits them in the air, they're good too.
He has a little bit of a, you know, that curve to it that beats the first guy. And then puts it in a very dangerous position, which is great. And he doesn't put a foot wrong in general, even when he's defending. Hmm. So I'm very, very impressed by that kid.
What we're saying is he's the new Beckham and he should start for England.
On the right.
Yeah.
Well, he's starting at left back, so he could be the next Bale, to be fair.
Yeah. Oh, because he's going to start at fullback and then all of a sudden progress to a left winger and then go into the middle and become a world number star.
And then move to Real Madrid.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and get a Welsh passport. There's a lot still to be done.
also become a Tottenham legend.
So that's 1-0. I think at that point, United dropped off. When they scored the goal, it felt like, okay, Chelsea started getting back into the game. United were kind of a bit more happy to kind of hold on to the lead, and you saw it hard. Chelsea came knocking at the door. De Gea with 3-4 brilliant saves. Point blank saves. I think at that point, the last 15 or 20 minutes of the game, the stats were like 90% Chelsea possession, which is insanity.
That's mental.
That is mental.
Especially as they're not really even a possession team.
Mm.
I mean, it was, you knew they were going to score because it's that thing, that wave after wave of attack, and there's only so much that De Gea
Hazard
can do.
Hazard and Pedro came on.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so they brought on some really attacking
shots. They brought on the attacking substitutions. They kept, every time United would clear the ball, there was no outlet.
No.
So they were literally just hoofing it and as if they said, okay, now reset. We're going to defend again. And you cannot do that. And it's because United don't have, like, now they're starting to attack a bit and everyone's happy. But when they do score a goal, you notice that if it's not against, you know, if it's against a team that's substandard, they get scared. And they're like, okay, we scored. Now what?
Yeah.
So they go into their shell and you can't keep doing that.
Yeah, you know, I think they also gave away a lot of free kicks right at the edge of the area. Towards the end of the game.
Panicking.
Like, a lot of yellow cards were given. A bit sloppy as they finished.
And then at the end, I think it was Blind trying to clear the ball. Kind of it landed at whose feet that gave it to Costa? I'm not sure.
That must have been Hazard.
That might have been. And then Costa, I mean, I think there was a couple of mistakes. Blind was at fault initially, and then Borthwick-Jackson as well. He when you look at the replay, he was a bit asleep. He didn't, if he had stepped up, everybody would have been offside, including Costa, but he wasn't. Costa took the shot. Jackson tried to make up for it, to be honest, with a great last-ditch tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, all that did was kind of set up the open goal for Costa. And he was quite delighted with that goal.
It was a good finish by Costa. But how the ball got to that position for Chelsea to make that attack in the first place was because Memphis Depay made a very sloppy play moments before on the other end of the field.
You were unhappy with his substitute appearance, weren't you?
You know, to be fair, when he came on, I thought, okay, Memphis, you know, the team is looking different in the last couple of weeks. This is his chance to sort of showcase his talents a little bit because he's got more freedom. But he comes on, and he's got a 2-on-1 situation, and he just...
Even 3-on-1, because you have Schneidlin rushing and Amata behind him. Either of them could have probably scored a goal.
Anywhere.
And somehow he aims it right at the guy's foot to cross the ball.
Right, yeah. And then that comes back, and then, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I think a draw was kind of a fair result. I don't know how you guys feel.
I agree with it. And it's, again, a positive performance, although we're disappointed that, you know, 90th minute they gave away the goal.
Yep.
And you have United fans screaming that Mourinho would have seen it out. But the thing is, Van Gaal is not a defensive coach.
Mm.
He's a possession-based coach. He's not an attacking coach either.
No.
But he knows how to possess the ball. When his team does not have the ball, they don't know how to stand up to, you know, the attacks, which Jose Mourinho's teams know how to do and keep their concentration for the whole game. And that's the problem.
I would say, though, just to counter that, You kind of said that it was inevitable that Chelsea would score, but ultimately, as Mo pointed out, it came down to two individual errors. Sorry. Beyond that, like, United held up fairly well.
Well, De Gea saves as well.
Yeah, absolutely, but, you know, he's in the team.
So that's the point I'm making, is that because this is a possession-based team, when you see it against Newcastle, we saw it against Southampton even, because all they do is possess the ball, when they are abused in a game and it's attack and attack and attack,
they're going to make a mistake.
Exactly.
But the point about Mourinho is, technically, I'm not sure that, like, he might have been a bit more defensive, but equally, I think the thing is, he wouldn't have had Blind in that position.
Right. He wouldn't. That's true. The only negative out of that game overall is Zuma's injury. Looks quite bad. he landed kind of locked knee. I don't know if it's broken yet.
I think he's done for this season.
Yeah, that's a shame because he's been playing well.
I assume they zoomed him off to the hospital.
Yeah, it looked like a really ugly play because he did some sort of kung fu kick in midair. He really got up high for that, and the way he landed was just, it was bad.
To Alex's point, do you know what make that ambulance was? I think it was a Mazda Zuma Zuma.
Ah, very good.
Okay, let's move on.
Someone give him a yellow card.
That was horrible.
Sorry. Man City 1, Leicester 3. That kung was...
pandemonium.
Wow, he just couldn't help himself.
Sorry, now you can move.
So Man City 1, Leicester 3. That was the... you know, game of the weekend, yes. Top of the table.
Yes.
And it was quite a spectacle. It was I had to wake up at 7:30 a.m. for Eastern time.
You told us on Facebook it was worth waking up
for. Oh, definitely worth waking up for. I mean, the game started off such a high tempo, both teams going at it. Kante and Drinkwater were really the difference here. The two center mids for Leicester were unstoppable, unbeatable, and at the end of the day, that's what really got them the game.
Look at City, for example, right? That's whoever they have in central midfield. Yaya Touré is not interested.
No.
Fernandinho is not up to it. Delph is whatever. Yeah. And then Fernando, to me, again, I've said it before, he's a non-event. I don't care. So those two guys, Drinkwater and Kante, as long as they control that midfield, they were going
to
win this game.
Well, speaking of Delph, Delph actually got played on the left-hand side to try and limit Mahrez's influence. So Pellegrini played him on the left of midfield, thinking that, you know what, he's going to track back, he's going to put in that effort. But what happens is 2 minutes in, Mahrez gets past him and Kolarov beautifully, gets the free kick, and then from that free kick, Huth scores, which looked like it was a training ground kind of routine, and it was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Huth scoring again after scoring against
Tottenham. Huth actually got a poor touch on that, and then, you know, Demichelis was bad enough to put it into his own net.
Yeah, really. Or nice enough. Whatever way you want to look at it.
Was gobshite in this.
I think the problem with marking Huth, though, is that he's such a massive unit that if he has any momentum, you're done.
Yeah, and his head is so massive that if you give him any momentum, it really is done.
The Chelsea fan chance back in the day was that he had a square head, and he's completely happy with it.
He's embraced it.
Yeah.
It's got some right angles on it.
Yeah. So the game kept going. Leicester was 1-0 up, and then Huth scored that one, and then Mahrez, oh boy, that goal.
Kante bringing the ball forward, as he usually does, passes it off to Mahrez. They're all picking up the ball in these, like, dangerous positions.
Pockets of space, yeah.
Yeah, and then Mahrez obviously makes Demichelis look like a fool on the playground looking for his kid who just turned the other way. And just finishes it, short corner, Joe Hart is just standing there.
I mean, that kind of step over to the left, and then the ball to the right, and with his right foot,
yeah.
I mean, it was beautiful.
Yeah. It's like you can see with Vardy the week before, Mahrez this week, there is confidence flowing through these guys' veins. It's unbelievable. And I forget, I don't remember which one of you guys, it was either Rocher or Mo, who posted this screen capture of the passing of Leicester.
Yes.
And it's literally get the ball, move it forward. They don't play around. They don't just tap it. They don't care. They move that ball forward with the objective of scoring.
It was an image of all the Leicester players in formation, and they showed you who passed the ball who the most. And the center backs, even the left and right back, there is no horizontal passing between that back four whatsoever. You get the ball, you play down the line to either a Mahrez or a Vardy. Boom, 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 and you keep going. There is no passing between
that back
four.
They're always picking out the ball in these dangerous spaces, though. Mm-hmm.
For me, this is kind of, you know, they're not complicating their lives here. You know, a lot of these teams, they come in with this quote-unquote continental mentality, and they pass, move, and they kind of complicate the game. Sometimes if you watch Arsenal play and you think they're trying to score the perfect goal and they're tip-tapping around the box, whatever, these guys don't do that.
No.
Vardy will shoot from 40 yards out. Yeah. Mahrez will dribble and shoot from God knows where, and they will move that ball in order to get the objective.
Speaking of that, the midweek goal he scored against Liverpool...
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. Oof. But then Huth scores another, which I think is the record. He's never scored two in a game, or since like 6 years or something.
He's probably never scored three in a season.
No.
Beautiful looping header.
It was.
Yeah, and then Aguero just kind of trying. I mean, it was a great header. Aguero's header.
Let's not underplay that goal. Yeah. That was a brilliant goal.
This brings up a question. Do you think that now that it's been announced that Pep Guardiola is going to be the manager of Manchester City, Is there a defeatist mentality now? Is there a what's the point? Or are they professionals and they're just doing their...
It's hard to say that they're going to just give up and cruise through the rest of the season, because before this game was played, they were only 3 points behind Leicester. Mm. They're still in second place, but now they're 6 points behind, and there's still 13 games left.
And yeah. The other thing is City have been inconsistent all season. I mean, they got battered by Spurs in early on. They've been battered here and there. Like
then again, Pellegrini... I said Pellegrino, my God. He's known this for months. Well, he's known that Pep is going to take his job for months.
But
I wonder if there's a correlation between those things.
City's form against the top six has been horrendous. They haven't beaten a single top six side this season. Not one.
Not at all.
Like three draws and four losses. Something ridiculous.
Oh, wait. I was going to say Chelsea, but
yeah.
No. Like, and now we're counting Leicester in that top six as well.
Yeah. So you know what? I think Leicester, they fully deserve this game. Kante and Drinkwater, again, phenomenal. Just... You know what?
Also, every week the commentator is saying, this week we have to take them seriously.
That's my question. Are they favorites now?
You have to say that now. Like, you absolutely have to believe that Leicester City, 6 points up with, I don't know, 13 games to go or something like that, are the favorites to win the Premier League.
Whether they do or not is a different story, but they are the favorites.
Yes.
Well, they're playing Arsenal next week.
Mm-hmm. For me, the reason that they're favorites is not only because they're playing much better than any other team, but because... The games they have left in the Premiership are the only games they have to play.
Yeah.
Every other team in contention for that title has to play possibly double the amount of games.
Yes.
And for me, even if you look at the games that they have next, we all know they have a bunch of hard games. Mm. But they went through a stretch where we said this stretch is going to kill them. And you know what it is? It's not even... They didn't even do that well in that stretch. Everybody else also messed up. So I don't believe that the rest of this league is going to actually do much, even if they do falter.
But if they did, they built up a buffer zone now.
Yeah, six points clear. Yeah.
Like, they can afford now to draw a game that they should win or lose a game that they should draw.
The ones that they could have afforded to draw, for example, they've won. They beat Liverpool and City in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And if they go and beat Arsenal or get a draw out of that one, I mean, that's just unbelievable form. So, anyways, we'll move on, but we'll see how that goes next week. That is a big one. Next week, I mean, we've got two big games. We've got City, Spurs, and Arsenal, Leicester. So that's the top four all playing each other.
Real good permutations for the league.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
If Arsenal and City win the games, then everybody's like 2 points apart at the top. It's going to be insane. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great finish to the league. Anyways.
More Kung Fu pandemonium.
Yes, more Kung Fu pandemonium. Liverpool-Sunderland. This was a weird game because...
This was a right laugh.
Sunderland kept the score at 0-0 for the longest time. It looked comfortable. And then... Liverpool's quality eventually shone through. They went 2-0 up. Firmino, goal and assist. He's been playing well.
Lovely header, that first goal.
Lovely header, yeah. And then in the 77th minute, the Liverpool fans had a walkout plan because of the expensive price of the tickets.
Yes.
The most expensive being £77, so that's the symbolism there. And then it seemed like Mignolet walked out with them because Adam Johnson had a free kick and Mignolet just decided to let it go.
He signed a new contract, right?
Oh, yeah. So
he's like, I got my money, I'm good. You know?
I mean, he went for it. He just did a terrible job going for it.
Yeah.
I mean, he did an average job for his standards, to be fair.
True. That was par.
You know what?
Yeah. It was par for
Mignolet. That was a fantastic attempt.
Yeah.
He's done his job. He's justified his contract.
Defoe, more goals. He's scoring a lot this season.
This was actually a really good goal.
Yep.
Like, little build-up interplay. If that was on FM, you'd have clicked work the ball into the box. Like, was it Kadri?
The
new guy? Flicked it into Defoe's path, and he turned Sacco so easily.
Okay. Kadri was...
Dropped him like a Sacco potato.
Ooh,
yeah.
Sacco's defending has been very questionable this last week.
In the last few years.
Yeah. Kadri actually was... I mean, he stood out. Mm. He talked to the ref way too much. He was arguing way too much. Fine, whatever. But he stood out as quite an effective player in the game. And yes, his 1-2 with Defoe is what kind of started all that. And Defoe, you're right. He turned them way too easily there. I mean,
you know what, Bruce? If Bruce is listening to this pod.
Bruce Grobbelaar.
That is.
You don't know him like that.
Bruce. Buddy. He picked his two center backs in the world to be Pique and Sacco.
Yeah, true. That was questionable at least.
He did say that.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Boy. Is that a Sacco bull offense?
Can I take that out of my head?
Nice. Nice accent there. Let's move on. Arsenal-Bournemouth. So this is a game where Arsenal came in having not scoring in three games. So, shambolic stuff. Eventually scoring today two in a minute or so.
Yeah.
Ozil with the goal broke Twitter.
Shh.
And then,
I was going to say broke a record. I'm like, I can't take it anymore. If I hear Ozil broke another record.
And then it was Ox with his first goal in 16 months.
Which is a record.
Yeah. And his first away goal in 60.
Okay.
60 months?
Months. Wow. Since being at Southampton. Never scored an away goal for Arsenal.
I want to talk about this, this Oxlade-Chamberlain goal.
Mm-hmm. He scored one at the San Siro, to be fair.
Oh, sure, but...
So, yeah, okay. We're done.
But... Yeah, proceed.
Okay. So this this Oxlade-Chamberlain goal.
Yeah.
It's curled into that far post at a very unusual angle. So I would say it's a fluke.
No. Wow, we waited for that. Okay.
Look.
It was not a fluke.
It wasn't the best of shots, but it was angled correctly.
If anything, it was the perfect shot.
Yeah, it curled in, but he hit it.
What you guys are trying to say is that he wasn't 100% in control of where the ball is going. Totally agreed.
Yeah. Which is the case in 75% to 90% of goals.
But the end result is that was a perfect shot.
How can we go this length to defend?
You started Chamberlain's
Oxlade-Chamberlain's fluke goal from today.
Anyways.
One that he hasn't scored in 60 games.
No. You know a fluke goal is Shaqiri's little dink. That was a fluke
goal. Wait, why do people say that?
Because it was a fluke.
Why?
Because it was.
That's exactly what he wanted to do.
No.
What did he want to do? Cross the ball?
Yes.
No, he did not. Yes.
But Shaqiri scores like every other week.
So no, he doesn't.
All right. This is just personal now, and we're hitting on Ox. Let's see how it is. Anyways,
I hate on Ox for the record.
That's right. He hasn't scored in 60 months. Okay. That's 5 years. Cech had a great game again.
Yeah.
A couple of good saves. I think he was our man of the match today. People want to give it to Ramsey too for running around and stuff, but you know.
Well, he put the ball in for the first goal that Giroud nodded back to.
And assisted Ox's lucky goal.
Assisted Ox's fluke, yeah.
Flamini, though, he should have gotten a red card like 20 minutes in.
Well, he shouldn't have started the game, to be fair.
For sure, but people are convinced that he has like Arsene Wenger's nudes.
I mean, he has his mind on his money and money on his mind.
Yeah, you know, and he's got a lot of money, so his mind's always gone.
Yeah, more money, more problems.
Yeah. Yes, he's got 99 problems.
Wow.
I mean, this was, overall, Bournemouth played really well. And they, okay, for you who didn't see that, Birdie was coughing and he dabbed his cough into his elbow. Well done. Bournemouth played really well. And Arsenal didn't really play that well. I mean, it was just 3 points at the end of the day. It wasn't a performance. And with Leicester coming up, it's quite worrying.
It is quite worrying. I think the thing for Arsenal is that at this point it was points on the board. After the last few weeks, they just had to win. It didn't really matter how.
2-0 and a 1-0 loss to Chelsea or something.
Yeah, so. Like they haven't played well in weeks. But at this point, it doesn't matter.
Right. You're right. Tottenham-Watford, I mean, someone was playing really well as Tottenham right now. On form, I think they're the best team to watch right now in the league.
Best defense.
Up with Leicester.
Best defense in the league.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Best goal difference. Beating Watford 1-0.
They're putting in performances, which I hate to say, but they really are performances of champions. Obviously, you know, if you take Leicester aside with that. And I say this because this is one of those games where, you know, they were the better team and they were knocking out the door and nothing was happening, but then they find a way. It reminds me of that old Manchester United team where it's like, you're being frustrated the whole game, but then you find a way every single week.
Yes.
Come on.
I mean, in this case, with your 3-foot-3 right back, Kieran Trippier, who looks like he should be part of St. Patrick's Day. Like he's a little leprechaun or a gnome. Or like you could bury him in the garden.
You could put him in the front of your garden. Yeah.
Well, honestly, I have to say, I don't like jumping on this bandwagon, but I'm in with 2 feet first. Dele Alli, what a ball.
What for a JP. Ball.
Outside of the foot. Yeah. And he just came on
as a sub. So basically he saved them the game. And that was, you know what? Look, when I was watching this game, you got to also take into account that 3 of their 4 in the back line were changed. You got Trippier, you've got Ben Davies, and you've got...
Vimmer. Because Alderweireld's out for...
I don't mean they've changed them on purpose. It's just, for whatever reason, there's 3 in there that are not the starting back 4. Mm-hmm. And then you've also got Chadli and Dembele, which aren't starters. They were playing too. I think he's also resting because Europa League is coming up. So to still get that result and have that much control of the game when you've got, you know, 5 players that aren't starters, that shows a lot about your squad depth. And they do have it this season.
No, I agree.
They do. I mean, actually, Dembele is starting most games at this point, but Lamella came back in for this one and Chadli. And usually it would be, I think, Son and Ali.
So the
point remains.
Yeah. Know. So, anyways, those very good 3 points there for Spurs. They're sitting pretty in second right now, which is
goal difference.
Yeah, which must be fantastic for their fans. I mean, they can believe. I mean, they could. If people talk about Arsenal, City possibly beating Leicester to the title, Spurs are just
exactly. You know what, if Leicester is supposed to drop off, then Spurs can dream.
Yeah. I remember making some bold statements about Tottenham.
What bold statement did you make?
They're gonna get relegated.
Making the top four. And this was at a time where they were kind of outside the top 4, but now they're comfortably in there.
Yeah, but that's who was supposed to drop out for them to make the top 4 in your mind?
United.
United. That's what I thought. The only thing I would say about this, though, is that at the start of the season, for teams like Tottenham or Liverpool, whatever, you would have said the Europa League might be an easier route into the Champions League.
Right.
But now it isn't. Now, like, if once you're in the top four and fairly comfortably in it, maybe at this point you abandon the Europa League because it's not worth it.
I hope they do, because I hope that's the only way we're going to get it. Yeah, so let's get it.
It is really not worth it. You're right.
Abandon the Europa League. Don't even show up.
Just send the kids.
Don't even fly out.
Send the kids.
They are kids. Tottenham right now are all kids anyways. Villa got 3 points, guys. So that's...
Remy God.
Yeah, you should all...
What a great advert.
Remy go out and buy your
I'm sorry, lot I cannot, of tickets. I cannot support Aston Villa only because I do not want Alex to be correct about Remy God. I don't want it.
All right.
I
don't want he it. He said he was going to keep it.
I know Alex isn't even that kind of guy who's going to brag about it, but I can't look at his smug face if Remy God pulls this great escape.
Speaking of which, this is the first time we've seen him smile. Ever. When they scored the second goal.
Because he's starting to believe it?
Maybe. What about all those poor factory workers who are printing their championship jerseys for next season?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You gotta somehow resell those.
Yeah, we have to think about those.
What a waste of resources.
Yeah. It's better than that Liverpool fan that tattooed that they won the Premier League.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Or the City fan that tattooed Rooney on his
back. Rooney's a legend.
Newcastle beat West Brom 1-0. Mitrovic scoring there. Shelvey playing a really good game. I think he's had like a 90-something percent accuracy, pass accuracy, assist. He looks good for Newcastle. Last game was a bit bad overall, but this one they stepped up again.
Can we talk about who is it in goal for West Brom? Is it Maiho?
No, that's the thing. Maiho doesn't play anymore. I don't know who it is.
He's in my fantasy team.
He is, and he keeps getting zero. I'm like, why is he not playing?
Okay, well, whoever was in goal thought they were Manuel Neuer or something, because Shelvey plays this through ball to Mitrovic, and he's outside the area when he collects the ball.
Oh, Ben Foster. He's back from injury.
Oh, yes, Ben Foster. That's it. And Mitrovic has many qualities. Pace is not one of them.
No.
Right? He had a lot to do. Yes. The keeper just ran straight at him, and then all he had to do was side put it past him. Like, there's no way he would have scored.
He made
if the keeper didn't come out.
You're right. Everton beat Stoke convincingly at the Britannia 3-0. Absolutely. Like, when I say convincingly, take what you think I mean and multiply it by 10.
Yes.
Because they won 3-0 away. I'm not kidding. 7-0. I watched the game. I counted. It could have been easily 7-0.
So this could have been a Barcelona La
Liga game. Oh, man. We will get to that. You know, and that is exactly what it could have
been.
This
is a very interesting result, because just a few weeks ago, over the holidays, we were watching Stoke take a 4-3 victory at Goodison Park.
That's true.
Humdinger of a game.
That's true.
Humdinger. Nice.
But it seems like Stoke have lost a bit of confidence in recent weeks. They got crushed by United.
Dude, you lose 3-0 to Manchester United, and then everything goes downhill from there.
They're like, oh my god, shit. Like, we were supposed to beat this shite team, and we lost to them 3-0.
Yeah. And then the confidence just drops.
Here's the thing, though. Everyone, and I remember this specifically when Arsenal went to the Britannia and got a point.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, ooh, you know, it's a tough place to go. Yeah. That's a good point away from home. They just got battered by Everton 3-0.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
At home.
Definitely.
So does that make you feel bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just Arsenal fans have the excuse of, oh, it's a good spot to go and get a draw. It's not. It's not. No. You should beat them. Anyways, Imbula played.
Yes.
And he looked like he could barely run.
He looked like an imbecile.
Was he imbecile?
Never mind. Keep it moving.
Yeah. So he looked like he could barely get going. It looked quite disappointing because I had high hopes for him. Yeah.
No.
Anyway,
his name needs work.
Yeah, anyone has any input?
Change his name.
Anyone has any input on the topic except for puns?
No, we can move on to...
Gianelli the Elephant.
Who's that?
Nelly the Elephant.
No.
Moving on.
We are definitely
Can we talk about Aaron Lennon in the form of his absolute
life? Definitely. I mean, honestly, he
it's unreal.
Absolutely smoked two Stoke defenders down the left and played. That's one of those ones that should have added up to the 7-0. He had an unbelievable game. He scored like 3 goals in 3 games now. He's playing fantastic.
So T-minus, how many minutes before Lennon to England for England starts?
It's already started.
It's been going on for a while.
Who's playing on the right though? Like, it's not Walcott. It's not Ox.
Well, I mean, Vardy.
It cannot be.
I played Vardy. Though.
No, they'll wait.
Not on the
Roy
right.
Hodgson will wait Kane, right? For Danny Welbeck to get fit. He'll wait for the last day of the season. If he plays 30 seconds of football, he's going to be.
If there's one thing old men have, it's patience. And it doesn't matter what the latest trend is. He's just going to go with
whatever. I don't know. You'd feel that old men would have less patience because life is...
Time's running out.
Yeah.
Not Roy. He's trying to live this forever.
Roy's an owl. An owl lives for a long time.
Roy Hodgson is watching every sport and he loves cricket. And, you know, he's got patience right there.
So do you think he'll play Aaron Lennon at silly mid-wicket?
He's gonna play Stuart Broad at right back.
I would say nice. Rochet learned all the cricket positions, like 70
of them. We don't 59. Need to hear 59. Any of them.
He's
right
also
now.
Indian. I wouldn't mind hearing him rattle through some. He should know them.
It's mostly because I want to, you know, rattle them off to Roy Hodgson when I meet him.
Can you give us 10?
No.
What happened when you met Alan Shearer? Never mind.
Yeah. Southampton beat West Ham 1-0. Yoshida with the goal there. Wanyama, another red card. He was absolutely brilliant before then. But then he got a red card, which he does once in a while.
He
and
makes
it really
stupid tackles a lot.
And it angers Koeman a lot.
He doesn't want to be there. That's
no, but he's
why.
Playing really well right now. He's actually playing really well.
I mean, the guy's his head is out. So sure. He's just doing stupid things.
It sure. Is a massive head.
Not as big as Robert Huth, though.
it was nice to see Yoshida on the score sheet on the right side of the field, as opposed to giving away a stray back pass.
He's been unbelievably bad recently. But Southampton are right now playing with a 3-5-2, which, you know, for the past 5-6 games, they've kept clean sheets. Fraser Forster has been in unbelievable form.
It's mostly Virgil van Dijk, though.
He's
great.
He's been very good.
He's extremely mobile.
And he was linked with better teams before he joined Southampton anyway. So that shows you how good.
As a dig.
Well, I was going to say Arsenal. I was going to be nice to you guys. But you know, forget it.
We're linked with everybody. It doesn't count. and last but not least, well, probably a bit least, Swansea drew with Crystal Palace 1-1. Sigurdsson, I think, third game running now or something. Like
isn't Guidolin undefeated since he took over as manager?
Yeah,
what,
he is.
Three games or something?
Yep.
And also since they sold Shelby.
Who you used to love.
Yes, yeah, I still do, actually.
And Scott Dan scoring for Crystal Palace, which he's doing way too much of right now.
Way too much.
Way too much.
Is he in the race for Golden Boot?
He's in the race for Golden
him
Head.
Between Huth and Vardy.
But he doesn't even have a blockhead. That's the thing.
No.
He scores a lot of headers from corners.
He's got like nice Lego. Hair and everything.
Yeah. Like a Lego head?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, that's exactly what it is.
Some sharp.
But the old Lego heads, because the new ones are around now.
Yeah.
Looking at the table, you got Leicester at top, 53 points. Spurs in second with goal difference of 48. Arsenal 48. City 47. And United 39. So, I mean, anyone can really win this.
That's not right. United have 41. They're 6 points behind fourth place.
Yes.
What? It's at 39.
No. Update your math.
No.
Well, 41.
Yeah, 6 points behind.
It's okay. Still not winning or getting into top four. Norwich, third last. Sunderland and Villa.
Norwich are in absolute suicide form.
Yeah.
If you're getting beaten by Villa, you know.
They have no strikers either.
Well, they've got Mbakani.
Yeah, they got Naismith, true.
He's more of a super sub than anything, to be fair.
Yeah, he's a bit of a...
He does have a hat-trick against Chelsea to his name.
Ole Gunnar Naismith.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I just got sad.
Why? Nwankwo Naismith?
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
All right, let's move on to Moomoo of the Week.
Moomoo
of the Week.
All right, so I think we need to refresh our memories of what Moomoo means. Mm. It's Nigerian pidgin English, which is slang for fool, idiot, moron, nincompoop. Anything else you want to say?
No, that's good.
Dumbass,
that's
yes.
That's good, yeah.
So, this week's first dumbass move of the week is the Leeds United chairman, Massimo Cellino, who doesn't like the number 17. And so fans were welcome to home game number 16B this weekend.
That's amazing.
That's just superstition, or...?
No, he just doesn't like it.
So, so there isn't a player on the team who has number 17?
I would imagine not.
Is there number 16B? Would that be allowed by the FA?
No, it wouldn't. You can't have letters.
Yeah, he's probably just in his contract. You can't get number 17.
Maybe like you remember how Zamorano had like a
1 × 9,
1+8
or something.
Was it plus?
Yeah.
1+8.
Maybe you can have like a 16+ or something.
+1.
Yeah,
that would be cool. My Moomoo is in France. So we've got PSG and Marseille. They're playing right now. PSG are 1-0 up, and we know how kind of intense this game gets in
Le
France.
Le Classique.
Yes, Le Classique. And what happened was there was a bus parked in front of the PSG hotel. So the Marseille fans went up and pelted it with rocks and threw all this random stuff at it. As you do. And it turned out to be like a Chinese tourist bus. Had nothing to do with PSG, the team. It was so much like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, so it's...
Yeah, so
I mean, we see that all the time. Like right in front of U of T, it happens all... Like,
yeah, it's classic.
You should know if you see a big bus. Bigger than most.
And it doesn't say PSG, it's not blue. Maybe I throw stuff at it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How was your trip? Brilliant, apart from the bit where I got pelted with rocks.
Yeah, by a bunch of hooligans.
Yes. Sticking with the PSG theme, I don't know if you saw this, but they were playing the other day, can't remember what the game was, but you know, they lined up in the tunnel, all the child mascots next to them, and one of the mascots' dad was next to him, and he was standing like with the player behind Zlatan.
Mm-hmm.
So the dad just manoeuvres his child, swaps him with the other child, and puts him next to Zlatan.
Quick shuffle.
Yeah, quick shuffle. Zlatan notices what's going on, promptly swaps them back,
yeah.
and rubs the
But who was yeah, the kid the standing next to before he was swapped?
So there's like 11 kids, probably all like standing Maxwell next to people,
or
something, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
oh, Maxwell or something, doesn't matter. Oh. Zlatan is the main attraction. So the dad's like, I need my kid to come out with Zlatan.
Dude, if it was Cavani, that would be the reason why he wants to leave.
That would be good. All right, so let's move on to La Liga. And every time we speak about La Liga, it seems like it's basically the Neville watch.
Yes.
It's almost a suicide watch at this point.
It should be.
With Neville.
It should be.
Yeah, so we had a brilliant midweek Copa game. Barca-Valencia, first leg, so nothing's decided yet. And Barca beat them 7-0.
Unos, dos, tres, cuatro,
cuatro cinco, cinco, seis, siete.
Seis, siete.
Siete?
Yeah.
Siete.
I mean, Neville knows.
Yeah. In the second leg, 8-9.
But my God, this game could have gone to 15 or 16.
100%. Yeah. 100%. I mean, Messi had a hat trick. Suarez had a super hat trick. They both went home with the match balls.
What
both
is a
of
super
them.
Hat trick?
Four goals.
Ah.
You never heard?
No. It's a hole.
So what? Did they give Suarez like 3/4 of the ball and Messi got a quarter?
No, they both got a ball, but then people online were like, which one actually got the match ball?
Actually, here's a question. They use a lot of balls in the game.
They do.
So like,
it's symbolic.
So like, if Messi can take a ball, and I'm like, I got one.
Yes, it's symbolic. I don't think.
But he has so many hat tricks. How many balls does he have?
Like two at least. Anyways, this game.
Is that a second bookable offense?
Yeah, a little bit of it, yeah.
Neymar didn't even score goals, and you've got 11-minute highlights of his performance because of the amount of times he's put it through people's legs, the amount of times he did no-look passes, Rabonas. He absolutely dominated Valencia at the same time, and he didn't even score a goal.
I've made it a point to watch one Neymar video before I sleep every night.
Right.
Because this is amazing what he's doing. Every week.
I'm not sure it's going to really help your romantic life. Just saying.
It's okay. She's not listening to this.
No, but you know what? I know what you mean. It, like, you watch it and you're just like, this is fantastic. I could never get tired of watching this. And you know what? Barca right now are in the form of their life, and people are saying they're breaking records compared to the 2011 records that Pep set. They're a better team now. And you know what? With Suarez and Neymar up there, it's 80% Messi. Messi's not even at 100% right now. He's not playing that way that we're used
or
to dominating
just
game.
Now or he's going
to
be.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Great to them. They also beat Levante 2-0 this weekend.
Unconvincingly.
Well, sorry. Yes. I want to just backtrack one second. Back to Neville. And not Neville, Valencia.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to understand who's a worse chief executive owner. Right. Woodward or Peter Lim? Because keeping Neville in the job is suicide.
Well, Alex is about to tell you that there's not enough time to sack him.
Or he's going
to
say he can't go out on another limb.
Yeah, that's more like a wow.
Well, now I've got nothing to do. It's not that there's not enough time to sack him. I just don't think there's really any point.
Right.
I mean, they're so far. They're, I think, like 19 points off top four or something completely ridiculous.
Mm.
Even if you sack him and bring in a new manager, what can you possibly achieve in the rest
of the
season?
You know how many points they're off the top four? The aggregate once Barca's done next game.
I just think that the fans are so fed up that why even keep it? It's just bad PR.
Because they're actually not that fed up with Neville at all.
Yeah,
they're fed
yeah.
up with the institution. They're fed up with Peter Lim. They're fed up with Jorge Mendes. They're fed up with the players. They actually haven't turned against Neville
yet. Not yet, yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's more like it's not really Neville's fault. It was really bad before he got
That's
here.
That's really weird because there was a bus of the Valencia team approaching the location and all of the fans, you didn't even see the fans, you saw them...
Middle finger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Went to the whole bus.
Did they mistake that bus for the Chinese tourists?
Yes, I think so.
That is a good question.
Because that would be racism.
Yeah, screw the Chinese. Oh, it's Valencia? Okay.
This isn't the Russian league.
Other games that happened, they got Atletico. Ooh, almost. They went 1-0 down to Eibar. And people were like, all right, well, if they don't win this game, just give it to Barca. Give the league title to Barca. Let's all go home early. But they pulled it back 3-1. Torres scoring his 100th goal for Atletico.
So how many games?
Almost left.
How many games did he take it? Like 370?
I don't know.
Even if... Yeah, that would still be a reasonable...
That would still not be bad.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, you just hate him. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was his goal lucky?
I believe he was stuck at 99 for a while.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
he hasn't been playing much.
He had 99 problems, too.
Yeah, but that's how it works when you're about to score your 100th. You're 99 goals, usually.
And a pitch ain't one.
Mohamed scored like 99 goals for our team, right? Possible. You're stuck. You're stuck, man.
I know.
Yeah. Hurry up.
I know, sorry. So, yeah, and then I think Granada's playing Madrid right now. Madrid are 1-0 up, Karim Benzema scoring. He's playing really well this season. Yeah, we all thought, you know, he's going to be in jail and he's not going to be focused and blah, blah, blah. But,
Since he went to jail and got kicked out of the French team, he's been magisterial. Yeah,
Majestique. He's playing with some freedom.
I got you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Not bad. I accept it.
So, yeah, before. I think that's pretty much it for La Liga. I mean, same old story. The table hasn't changed.
There aren't even any other teams. I mean, that's just it.
I mean, Sevilla and Celta, they drew 1-1. Celta Vigo, or Sevilla absolutely destroyed Celta Vigo 4-0 in the cup. Same kind of round where.
Sevilla are weird teams.
You only talk about Sevilla when it comes to Europa League.
Yeah.
Because, what, are they back to back winners of that thing?
Yeah.
Now? So, wait till the Europa League and they get in, you know, they'll probably win again and then we'll talk about strength of
life. They should just rename it to the Sevilla Cup.
They could.
Sure. I mean, they rename it almost every 2 years.
The king would be happy with that because then he wouldn't have to show up at these bloody things every year.
Speaking of the Copa, just before we move on, I love the fact that every time Madrid get kicked out of the Copa and it looked like Barca are going to make the final, Madrid come up with some reason why they can't host the final of the Copa del Rey. It's like, sorry, we need to renovate the bathrooms. I apologize. You know, the kit man is sick that day. And it's just so funny. It's petty, but I can see it. The rivalry is so huge that seeing Barca win the cup there every season in your stadium must,
But they don't have a national stadium in France.
No, they don't. So they're going to play it somewhere else now.
Yeah.
But usually they like to play it in the Madrid stadium.
I think they should play it in Bilbao Stadium because they'll never win it.
That would be great.
So might as well do that. Or the Mestalla.
Didn't they get to the final under, what's his name? Bielsa?
Did they?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think so.
Wait, who do they play? Oh, was last year the Messi run? Was that Bilbao?
Oh yeah, that was Bilbao.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
They should play in the Atletico Stadium.
That's the next option on El Madrid. Say no, it's going to be Atletico. Yeah.
Or the Mestalla. Gary Neville could.
Or the Mestalla
could watch some good football for once.
Vicente Calderon.
Right, we're just naming stadiums now.
Yeah.
Sanchez Pichuan. Just pick one.
Ramon Sanchez Pichuan.
Before we move on, let's talk about China a little bit. We've kind of touched up on China a little bit somehow during this part already.
Yeah, Kung Fu Pandemonium.
Yes. Well, I was thinking of that. I was thinking of the bus, but
it's
sure.
It's also Chinese New Year, and, you know, to celebrate Chinese New Year, we're all going to go eat
Gong Shi Fa Choy?
Gong A Fa Choy in Cantonese. And
it's
Gong
not
Qi
fat,
fa
it's fought. It's not fat choy. Who's this choy guy? It's fought.
Fat Chang.
Fought.
The Mandarin and Cantonese.
How about we pretend we act like we are not professionals in Mandarin and Cantonese?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm professional in eating Chinese food.
Me too.
You are. That's true. I think we've mentioned this on the pod before, but Roche eats two things. It's either fish and chips or chicken fried rice.
Three. Soylent.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, let's not get into it, guys.
Or, since 2016 started, I have not been to McDonald's, so I have to rule out my junior chicken.
Fair play.
Okay.
Fair play.
Nice.
Back to China.
Thank you. This is the list of players that are currently going to be plying their trade in China, okay? Making 300,000 whatever gazillion a year and all that good stuff. You got Ramirez, Teixeira, Lafezzi apparently is on his way. You've got Jackson Martinez, Paulinho, Gervinho, Gian, and a couple more that are still joining.
Yeah, there are more. I can't think of them right now.
The Turkish League
now. Ilmaz went.
I was just about to say.
Ilmaz went to China?
Yep.
Turkish League is right now migrating to China. Literally. Yes. You're just buying anyone and everyone. And the Turkish
will be next.
Yeah, exactly.
It might well be.
You need money and you're like, here, you want 25 million for this guy I've never heard of?
Okay, why now did the Chinese clubs just decide to throw money at this thing?
Apparently there's a consortium of billionaires that came together. I'm not even joking. This sounds like I'm joking.
100 was there.
Sure. And apparently they want to start a super league in China. They see the benefits of all the revenue that it could bring in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is their attempt at doing it. I'm scared this is a bubble that will burst soon and then they won't be able to pay almost anybody and then blah, 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 blah.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, the money is pretty much limitless. For me, it's a question of, and this is a political thing, like the new head of state is a big football fan and he wants, like this is his agenda. He wants the super league to become a big thing. The only issue is, as it stands, they can only have three foreign players in each team.
What?
Until someone buys that rule away.
Well, which is possible. So for now, like the damage done in terms of the players they can bring over is limited. But as you say,
but
it's the kind of thing that disappears.
Even this
when
whole Chinese domination of world football. The other example of that I saw was the Portuguese league.
Right.
So the Portuguese second tier has actually been bought. Funny enough,
sponsored.
But let's just call it bought. for all intents and purposes.
Sure.
By
kept the receipt.
The Chinese consortium of billionaires. Mm. And now there's a rule, an actual
rule. Well, apparently it didn't hold through.
It didn't?
Yeah.
But it was proposed.
It was.
Proposed. Okay.
Yeah. It was. Oh, the audacity to even propose it.
Because the proposal was that I think at least four members of the squad had to be Chinese in every team in the
league. Right, so the kit man, the key lady, they're just getting away with it.
Why did it have to be the kit man?
Because it's just, you get, because there's no Chinese players, so you get around the rule.
The kits in China.
Who has a key lady?
Arsenal has a tea lady.
Everyone's got a tea lady.
Everybody's got a tea. I've got a tea lady.
Yeah,
you do.
You can always tell because there's always a story about the manager being like, "Oh no, he's a man of the people. Like he speaks the same way to the tea lady as he does to the."
Drew Ferguson had a tea lady.
Wow.
Yeah, because I heard that saying.
Wouldn't you have a tea lady if you could?
I would. Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or a tea man. Equal opportunities.
True. Right.
And
oh, a kit woman.
Or a kit woman.
True. Yeah.
Or
a lineswoman.
I mean, you know, what we definitely can't have in football a female physio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because then you just have to sack them.
Yeah, exactly. And then she sues you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get sacked from your club.
Yeah, it happens to every single one.
Let's escape this rabbit hole, please.
All right.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @under_thekosh, and for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.